Welcome to the Hard to Be Woke podcast. It's the weekly podcast where we share and discuss our sometimes unfiltered opinions on what's going wrong in the world. We dig deep into hot topics, mental awareness, societal issues, relationships, trends, and what's going wrong with this world. With uplifting, powerful messages at the end of every episode to encourage my listeners mornings or nights. And I'm your host, Evan, with my best friend co-host, Stan. The unpopular guys from Brooklyn with even more unpopular opinions. But it's our truth. So while everyone's sleeping, please tune in. Someone's got to stay up because it's hard to be woke out here.
Okay, but I haven't been stubborn my whole life, though. I just have moments.
Yeah.
That wasn't a ringing endorsement.
What do you want me to say?
Yeah. He's like, yo, okay.
Yeah.
Yo.
Look how long it took you to smoke weed.
Yeah, right. It took me forever.
That's pretty stubborn.
You guys are tuning into the Hard to Be Woke podcast. This is episode 6. Stan is trying to give me a breakdown of who he thinks I am. But I'm growing.
Yeah.
I'm finally in that transition where I'm willing to accept some of my flaws.
Right.
And I'm starting to get out my own way.
That's it.
You know what I mean? So there's growth. So I'm slightly stubborn. We've come to that agreement.
Okay.
You know?
We want to frame it.
Yeah. And I'm learning to get out my own way.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for tuning into episode 6. What's the vibe, bro? What's the vibe, man?
It's getting warm.
It's been getting warm where?
Here.
Bro.
Spring is around the corner.
New York City's been terrible. It's been snowing every other day.
Stop it.
Every other day. And if it's not snowing, it's windy.
It hasn't snowed in like 2 weeks.
Bro, it is brick the moment you open the door.
It's like.
Yeah, it's getting warmer. Like, yo.
I
can't remember last time I felt the sun.
Today.
Bro, I still haven't felt it, man. It's coming in here. The wind chill alone, you said it yourself, like the wind, like sun.
Because the sun was down.
Because we were outside for what, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and you just felt
down.
It. Bro, I have no hope. When is spring?
This month.
You know the date exactly?
This month.
So I have my researchers.
In the 20s.
I haven't kept up with
the
season.
I think it's like 20 to 20.
Yeah, elementary 20. School, it's not even relevant. But
yeah,
I mean,
not farmers.
Yo, a lot has been going on in New York. Bobby's back.
Hey.
You know what I mean? Like his song.
Hot nigga.
Okay. Hot nigga.
Yeah.
It's been running wild. Bobby's home. Everybody's super excited. I'm excited.
Songs went platinum.
OD.
It came out.
OD. Like, same thing with Roddy.
Yeah.
Like, there was that video where.
Computers went.
Bro. And computers was a bad. Yo, they can't lose. Like, they can't lose. With where music is today, it kind of feels like our city specifically has been waiting for, like, a hero to come home.
And they were meant for, like, viral.
Like, yeah, those two, right?
They were meant for this. Like, the way the music industry set up with, like, social media dictating who.
They kind of were there in the beginning.
Right.
You know, at the peak of, like, you know, the Vine clips and everything, when Bobby throwing up that hat and him going viral. I'm not sure if it was so much the song that went viral or that gesture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It was both. It was the song. It was the vibe. It was everything,
right? Yeah. So with him being back, new music is going to hit us any day now.
Eventually, right?
And I ain't going to front, man. Brooklyn is up 21. Brooklyn is up 21 on the competition.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you
basketball.
You have the Nets. The Knicks are, what, fourth in the West right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like
in the East.
And we're approaching All-Star Weekend, which we're about to get into.
In the East?
Well, I mean, you know, in the Eastern Conference, we get it. But nonetheless, you couldn't tell a Knicks fan anything else, bro. Like, they'll take it. Yeah, so you got Brooklyn, you got the Knicks, you got Bobby home. I was actually surprised, but because here's the thing. When he was coming back home, I knew he was a big deal in New York. But when I seen him on the side of Madison Square Garden, I was just like, bro, like how big that was in Times Square all over. Bobby's back.
Right.
And I was sitting here like, yo, I don't think we realize just how much of a superstar this kid is. You know, like he's not some Brooklyn rapper that nobody's ever heard of. Like, even my boy had me looking at clips where there was actually acting scenes with Bobby and Kevin Hart.
Yeah, and then for him to do what he did, to give up millions, potential millions. I mean, he's going to make them back, but...
Right.
To give up 6 years of your life and potential millions to...
Well, it was originally offered 5 years, but he decided to take 7 so Roddy could get less time.
Right.
So,
which is admirable.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then he comes home early anyway. What you showing me? Someone said this is how Bobby Smith IG looks. Yo, they've been cracking on. Yo, it's been a whole bunch of making fun of his poses.
Yeah.
Like, yo, he's not up to date.
And then,
yo, cut him some slack, yo. Like, my son's home.
Facts. And his social media's already got like 2 points.
I was following his page the moment he was about to be released. And within a 2-3 day span, his account just boosted up about 4 million followers. Mm-hmm. That is, yo, power, yo. But like I was saying, like, I didn't even realize how much of a big superstar he was. I'm like, yo, he's getting shot about the Knicks.
Yeah, man.
And you remember during that time when Hot Nigga was out.
Right.
I think Team USA had won gold. And then celebrating, yeah, like Derrick Rose, yeah, James Harden.
All doing the Smurda dance.
And you kind of forgot that. I'm just like, yo, on that kind of platform, it goes to show you how far his music reached. And with him being back, like, bro, it's been a rough. I mean, it's been a rough two. Would you say 2021 has been rough?
Nah, compared to 2020.
No, nothing could compare.
Rough?
Nah. No, in terms of, like, waiting for good news. I feel like once we lost, like, Black Panther.
What kind of good news are you waiting for? Like.
All right. In terms of like the culture,
okay,
right. A lot of things has been going left with the culture, but the sound of the music.
Good things going in the culture.
I know, but I'm saying Bobby's return is just like a
boost.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying. trying to get to. Okay. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, with everything's just kind of been bland, and with Bobby coming back, it feels like music has found its inspiration again. It's flavor. Like this kid, I feel like he's gonna change the sound of music.
Bland.
How do I explain?
Yeah, like what, you looking for a king? Like what? What you?
All right, because you.
That's the question I'm saying. Okay.
Hear me out. So with the direction of how the culture's been, music has just been regular. It's been you know your Cardi B's, your regular artists. No one has gotten you up and popping. Like honestly, Pop Smoke. Unfortunately, he died.
That's what I'm saying. You're looking for king of hip hop, somebody the leader type thing.
Yeah. So I'm saying with him coming back in terms of like the loud music that's going to get you vibing, popping, dancing.
I mean, we'll see.
And it's a different sound.
He ain't dropped nothing yet.
But he can't miss. He can't miss.
So he comes out and his song is trash.
Bro, it's still going to get spun around. Honestly, it's going to get spun around because he's Bobby. But right.
I know it's going to get spun around, but mm-hmm. if it gets spun around and it's trash, that's not a good look. That's what I'm saying. At least let's wait till he makes some music first.
In the court of public opinion, I think they'll be more fair since he's been out the game.
Right.
But I just think these guys, they're hips. They have everything at their hands. So whatever they want, they can do. And they're working with engineers that know the sound of music now.
Of course.
So, you know, you throw in a couple of hot niggas and, you know what I mean, a couple of dances. It's gonna be buzzing. It's going to go viral. That's a fact. So, super excited to see him back, man. Like, right. Honestly.
Of course. For the culture, it's a good thing.
Right. How do you feel about All-Star Week?
All-Star Weekend?
Yeah. Looking forward to it?
Yes. No AD, no KD. So two of the biggest stars is missing from it. But other than that.
Where is it? In Atlanta, right?
It's in Atlanta.
Of course it's in Atlanta.
Originally it was going to be in Indiana.
Really?
Yeah.
So they changed it last second?
Yeah, because Indiana was like, nah.
What, they didn't want the event there? Yeah. Oh, because... You know, social distance and all that.
All that good stuff. Yeah.
So Atlanta gives lesser shits than everybody else.
They're wide open, man.
That's crazy.
They wide open.
I'm gonna be honest. I'm not really looking forward to it. Last year gave me hope because for a while, like the All-Star game had become like the NFL Pro Bowl, where it's just like superstars go, but no one plays defense. Last year gave me hope because it was the best one that I could remember. You remember that one? I think they had changed the rules a little bit because it wasn't so much of...
It was the Kobe All-Star game, that's why.
Yeah, a lot of inspirational basketball was being played, so it was definitely.
Like, that's and then they changed the rules in the fourth quarter.
What was it? You had to hit like a certain score.
You have to hit
24. Was it 24?
Mm-hmm.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I mean,
Kobe, yeah.
It had a nice spin to it. Like, it was real. It was real competitive. You saw your favorite athletes and stuff. And this year, LeBron gets first pick. I believe. Well, I think, who are the captains? It's LeBron, definitely. And I'm almost going to say either Joel Embiid or someone on the Nets. Oh, no, KD. Team KD. So that's going to be weird. KD's not even playing.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to select the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, NBA. But a lot of players had felt a little left about...
How did they choose the captains?
Popularity contest.
Okay.
KD has played, what, 9-10 games, and yet he's the captain?
He's KD.
That's what I'm saying. Popularity contest. It's market. But lost my train of thought slightly. What was I going to say?
You're talking about the captain, a lot of players. A lot of players feel...
Oh, yeah, no. A lot of players felt a type of way because they were promised before the season started that there was going to be no All-Star game.
Right.
on top of the Lakers winning a championship and having the shortest championship reign we're probably ever seen in another 100 years. I think they were off 40 days after winning the title.
Right. And just to be back in it again.
Yeah. So, like, the players were led on with empty promises because, you know, cash rules everything around the NBA. And if they have to break a couple of promises to make millions, they'll do that. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of sponsors, a lot of
I mean, there's certain money you just can't say no to.
So I heard like the best compromise was like having it at the end of the season, after the finals, we're all done. And if you opted out, you opted out. But it'll be like a Pro Bowl type thing where it's like, you know, a little All Star weekend after the finals. It'll give guys who you've long forgotten because you've been focused on playoff basketball a time to get a little more shine. It'll be a different type of hype. But whatever's happening this weekend, and with all the skills competitions too. So dunk contest, it's a full All-Star
Steph
weekend.
Steph is going to be in the 3-point contest. Yeah. I'll be excited to watch that.
And is there going to be any fans? Any news of that?
I heard about 2,000 fans.
Okay.
2,000.
So that excitement won't be there.
Yeah, like
I think they did a bubble type thing.
You think so?
Yeah.
For the All-Star game?
Yeah.
Not have no fans?
I mean, just do the video screens. You would have filled up the thing. Like,
I don't know.
Like the way wrestling is doing it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know, because when it comes to basketball, a lot of the highlights that we watch are all fed off electricity, that energy in the room.
Right.
I don't think I'm getting that kind of buzz if I'm watching an All-Star game.
2,000 people in a space that holds 20,000?
Hold on. But I'm saying, I don't think I'm getting that kind of energy in a basketball game if I'm watching a bunch of empty watching screens watch the games. The dunk contest, let's be honest, we're up to a point in our lives where we're going to see the same dunks repeatedly. We feed off the crowd. You know what I mean? I feel like the judges feed off the crowd. The players on the bench feed off the crowd. Like, you want that energy of like, oh, shit, I'm probably never going to see this dunk again.
Right.
If you remove all the fans, listen, I'll take 2,000. But I feel like it's going to be a little above the YMCA feel that you get from most basketball games. Because everybody's going to be scattered. They're not going to take any chances. And but here's the thing. With all the precautionary measures they took with the bubble, right? And, like, they had zero cases while the players were stuck in there. For them to bring all the best talented players in the NBA to play in one building, I feel like you kind of contradicted all the precautionary measures that you placed to protect these players.
And now what happens if you have a French team that's on the playoffs and your All-Star gets COVID at the All-Star game?
I mean, not even. Like, we're talking about the best players in the league.
That's what I'm saying. So what if your All-Star... Nah, but look, hit me. Like, what if your eighth seed, right? Mm-hmm. And you have an All-Star or a 7 seed, and your All-Star gets COVID. And now you come back from the All-Star game, you don't have your best player, and you're trying to make a playoff push. That's a possibility.
Yeah, and that's what got some of these players worked up, like a lot of these players, honestly. And when LeBron was like saying like it was like BS, it's like, yo, bro, you guys made us a promise. Like, we're humans too, you know what I mean? And after coming off a short title reign, getting All-Star weekend to refresh ourselves, rejuvenate the mind, and get back into the shape of things would have been perfect.
Yeah, a little break, All-Star break.
Yeah, but
instead of making them play the games.
Yeah, but when it comes to money, like these, yo, it's a couple of $100 million that we're talking about. So the NBA is going to be like, you know what, you're going to suck it up. At the end of the day, here's the thing. The players get all the clout too, because it's like a vacation.
Right.
There's no real pressure. It's nothing but glamour. You're in Atlanta.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's projected to be about, what, 80 degrees while you're out there? Like, bro. Yeah. So from what I've heard. But nonetheless, I mean, it's a free game. So I guess these guys are going to make the best of it. I don't think it's going to live up to what it was last year in honoring Kobe.
Right.
But I think it's going to be pretty good. Like, we're going to mix the East with the West. Oh, damn, I was off. Well, I mean, I was told it was going to be 80.
Nah.
Apparently it's going to be 63, so we'll see. Hold on, is that?
It's going to be 57.
On that day?
Yeah, they're going to be indoors.
Yeah, so it really doesn't matter. Yeah. But nonetheless, I'm going to watch and I'm not really looking forward to it, but we'll see what the hype is all about, man. So,
got the East or the West winning?
I'm biased. I'm going to side with the West because they have Bron. And I'm pretty sure he's going to. If I think this is KD's first time selecting teams, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was Giannis. Like
Giannis was horrible. Yeah. Giannis chose.
I don't want to pick Harden because I don't like Harden.
He don't play no defense.
And he don't play no defense in the All-Star game he score 170 points.
He takes Kemba Walker, Joel Embiid, Siakam, and LeBron gets
James Harden.
LeBron gets Kawhi, James Harden, Anthony Davis, and it was bad. It was bad. So I think KD's going to be a little better than Giannis.
Yeah.
Yo, this episode, I ain't going to front. Once you put me on to this Netflix film that I'm about to get to, guys, Stan put me on to some dope content. And, you know, ever since I launched this podcast, right, I've enjoyed studying a lot of movies that you kind of take for granted. Mm-hmm. And The Social Dilemma is kind of like something that we kind of all going through right now in terms of figuring out what is going on with the internet. Because it always seems like the internet has its own agenda, but we just have so much going on that we don't really have the time to really pay attention to it. So I watched The Social Dilemma the other day. How would you break it down?
It basically tells you how Silicon Valley and the social media companies are using data to basically sell a version of yourself to advertisers and how they use these tricks to keep bringing you back in.
And it blew my mind. So this piece came out last year. It wasn't highly publicized. Not too many people were really talking about it. And watching it, everything that I took away just kind of just blew my mind. Because, all right, I'm your average consumer, right? I'm that person who goes on social media, lives on Instagram, occasionally goes on Facebook. I'm always on these social media platforms, and I'm constantly being fed the same information. Now, the information I'm getting fed, I never really quite take it as information because it's things that I'm interested in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you open up your app, you see a couple of bad bitches, you see sports, you see fitness. Like, that's my social media feed. Now, for the listeners listening, I'm pretty sure when you guys go on your IG or your social media, you see your own thing. Some people are into baking. Some people are into tattoos. The internet has its own agenda. So here you are thinking that what you're seeing is kind of, how do I put it? I guess you sort of normalize it.
Yeah.
We never question the first thing that we see on our phones when we open it because
facts. Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, we follow these people. But the way The Social Dilemma broke down everything was just, I feel like, in a weird way, they created a monster. And the monster in which they created, although that monster has brought us a lot of good, right? They've connected us with people that we haven't met in years. They've helped solve different
social issues,
You know what I mean? So if you ever need information, you just go on the internet. And watching The Social Dilemma just kind of blew my mind because I never realized how quite hidden their agenda was in terms of manipulating our mindset.
Yeah, it's not. When you say hidden agenda.
The hidden agenda part is basically, I kind of felt like when you look at, for example, Facebook, mm-hmm. they live off of connecting us.
You mean the way they market themselves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't, we don't really, I feel like I didn't understand the bottom line until I watched The Social Dilemma. You know what I mean? Like, because for the longest, you take these apps at face value. Like, what is Facebook known for? What is IG known for? Like, at one point in time, IG was all about pictures.
Right.
And now it's sort of found its way to becoming like every other social media platform. I didn't know the masterminding system that basically, honestly, controls our thoughts.
Right.
And not even just controls our thoughts. It
controls how you feel, controls how you view things.
And
it's designed like that. It's designed to manipulate you into coming back.
Crazy. And like the way the film was broken down, it kind of gave you an inside scoop of just how it affects your mindset at each age.
Right. So if you're a young teen and you think that this is how, you know, a body's supposed to look, you're going to start feeling self-conscious about your own body. And, mm-hmm. Or if you're a person and you think that, you know, oh, only people who think like this are correct, then the machine is going to send videos the way you view yourself. So if you view like, oh, Apple, the earth is flat.
Right on.
And because of people who believe that, think of a certain way and believe in certain conspiracy theories, it's going to introduce you to other conspiracy theories. And that's how it's set up to get people. And what it ends up happening, it creates a divide.
Right. And it's crazy, too, because these communities, that's all they do. It's almost like a, they almost become religion in a sense.
Yeah.
Because you have a group of people who all think the same way. And we're being planted these seeds subconsciously. Because it's like, to us, it's like, well, this is what I'm interested in anyway.
And this is how I view things. This is fact to me.
You know?
This is how I view things. This is what I agree with.
And here's the thing. when they created this technology of what is the internet and social media, it was really, I do believe, the people working in Google, the people working on Facebook, their intentions were to really connect people.
Yeah, Google's motto used to be, don't be evil.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was their company motto, don't be evil.
But the thing is, like, with every good, you got to take in the bad.
Right.
So
not even the bad, it's the unforeseen.
Which you come
because it's which, like, which once you put something bad? Into, yeah, because it's no bad intention.
No, not from them, but right. What they create.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the bad that comes from the platform that they created. All of it basically, the way that they broke it down was they want to get you to stay on your phone as long as possible. Mm-hmm. The longer you stay on your phone, the higher chances you have of seeing their ads. And that's how these companies make money. So
they're selling ads.
They're basically
selling your user data to the ad companies mm-hmm. to connect you with something that you eventually end up buying.
Eventually, right? Yeah. I mean, I always like to say commercials have no impact on me because commercials are annoying.
Yeah.
Like, I never really, whoever really wants to watch commercials ever? You know what I'm saying? Especially at the good part of the film or the movie. So I already. The
commercials are what paid for that movie. That
I know. I know, exactly. But those are the underlying facts that you just don't know. And, so there was a point that was brought out during that episode. And one of the guys that used to work at Google, he was like, yo, if you're not paying for the product, then essentially you are the product. Because it's like when we go on Facebook and IG, everything is free.
Right.
You know, like we just, it's to the point where we just feel like we're entitled to these apps because everybody uses them.
YouTube.
You know, Pinterest, yeah. Snapchat. And we don't even realize that these advertisers are the ones that are paying so we can have this shit for free. And what they do with, how they basically get us is they create this algorithm that shows us things that we're, you know, guilty of enjoying, like fact no matter.
So if you lean Democratic, then it's going to show you people who think like you
mm-hmm.
based off what you've looked for in the past and what other people who think like you have looked at. And they'll start suggesting videos to you. So let's say you're black, right? Mm-hmm. And you're from the hood.
Okay.
You're more likely to be anti-police because of the way you know, you're fed. So mm-hmm. when you go on your Facebook, you're going to get videos of police abusing their power.
Mm-hmm.
What it's not going to show you is, you know, the other videos of police doing good things and right. stuff like that, because it's here to keep you interested because, you know what, I sat here and watched that police being an asshole video. So it's going to feed you another one. Then it's going to feed you an ad. And then it's going to feed you another one mm-hmm. and another one. Meanwhile, there's videos of police doing good that you're never going to see. Because you're not going to be interested with that because you're going to view it as propaganda.
Right.
So
damage control. Like, yeah. You guys are just trying to show me this one clip. But what about the 20 clips of you guys killing us?
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
And then we consume it so much that it becomes facts to us. You know, it becomes our reality. This is how we view police. And what happens is when you get a group of people who all share the common interest, when we have hate fueled or we have resentment fueled. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the attack on the Capitol.
All right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And all that stems, honestly, from the advertisers who basically manipulate the system in order to fuel whatever it is that we believe in.
So let me ask you a question now. Now that you're conscious of this, right?
Oh, dear.
Will you change your social media habits, or do you see yourself as just going with the flow, but you're just aware of it?
Now, here's the thing. After I finished watching it, the first thing I did was look at my usage on my phone. How many hours do I spend on my phone? I was just like, yo, I'm at 12 hours.
A day?
12 hours on my phone.
I'm at 4. I thought I was bad.
I'm worse. So I'm sitting here consuming all this and I'm just like, yo, how often have I been manipulated by this concept, this algorithm that just gets people drawn?
Apparently half the day.
And, not average, but for the week.
Okay.
For the week. I mean, but I mean, my average is probably at 9 or 10. So listen, I'm always on my phone. So I sat there. I'm like, yo, how much of it, how brainwashed am I? Because I'm taking in this new information. Now, for some of us listening, right? Think of it as what I've always known of this whole system was if I ever spoke anything into existence, I would end up seeing it, you know, in some sort of ad on my Facebook or IG. Like, I guarantee, like, I use this example with my homegirl. I'm like, yo, we're going to spend 5 minutes just talking about trampolines. just trampolines, right? We kept on rephrasing it like 5-10 times. I'm like, yo, in the next day or two, let's see who's the first one between us two who's going to get the first ad about trampolines.
Trampolines.
You know, random shit, right?
Right.
Trampolines.
No.
So, because I feel like that's what, I guess, the common woke person who kind of felt like they're being subliminally hypnotized by the internet would say, like, yo, like, I was just talking about this the other day. Now I'm seeing it on my phone. You see, the feds are listening. You know, like the average, you know, consumer.
Right.
But when you break down that algorithm and see the method to the madness, it almost makes you feel like, yo, do these companies really care about what they're feeding us? Or is it just a bottom line thing?
Nah. It's like the it's a machine. It's not even people. It's a machine that knows that I don't care how you feel because I have no feelings. I just know that I was built to get you to stay here. And mm-hmm. this is what gets you to stay here. So I'm going to keep feeding you this, whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
Because you said it earlier. Google doesn't claim to give you the truth.
Oh, yeah. And that was my takeaway. Yeah. Like, the internet is not concerned with being right. If you ask the internet a question, and it actually broke it down, like, you will get a different response. Like, me and Stan could live in two separate countries and ask Google the same question. And we could literally get two different answers.
Right.
You know what I mean? And based on our location.
Right. And what other people around you feel.
Exactly. So the internet is not thinking about being right and feeding you facts. It's just thinking about answering the question. Now, we view Google like average day God, you know, like hopefully no one takes offense. But, you know, you go to Google for everything.
It's called Googling.
It's called Google. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo, Google it. Yeah. It's a verb. It's synonymous with you don't even go, yo, go search it. No, you Google it.
Google it. Yeah. And we all know what that means.
Right.
So, like, you go on Google for information thinking that it's spitting you facts. But in all actuality, Google is the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bringing you to another place
where you can get to a source where you can make a decision if what you're reading is fact.
But I don't think. But as the user, to quote them, I don't think we view it as that because we always give Google and Wikipedia all the praise,
right?
Because like, oh, I found the answer because of Google. You know what I mean? So I sit there and I'm like, yo, the internet doesn't care about being right. And what have we realized in like, I guess what, 2018 till now, fake news sales.
Yeah.
Well, probably before 2008.
You know what it is? It's just an evolution of what's always been happening.
Right.
Because in the past, you have books that have lied.
Mm.
You have newspapers that have lied. It's just propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they don't claim to say that this is de facto truth. It's just, you ask Google, who was the first president? It's going to show you sources of who the first president is.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Whether it tells you George Washington or Boom, foo, foo, maka, cuckoo. You never know.
You froze trying to think of another president, bro. Yo, how many presidents do you have off the top of your head?
Barack Obama.
Give me 5.
Donald Trump. George Bush.
Give me one president in the 80s.
Bill Clinton.
In the 80s.
Ronald Reagan.
In the 80s? Oh, good save. And one more.
George Bush, the first one.
Let me tell you something. On the spot, you just named 4 more presidents than I would have gave you.
Thomas Edison. Jefferson.
Yeah. Listen, like, we didn't front like we were Slave historians. You know? But nonetheless, so it brought me to another point, right? Just how much of your thoughts are you really responsible for?
Mm.
And I was sitting there and I was watching this episode and, well, this whole show, and it really made me believe that, like, yo, a lot of our own opinions aren't actually our own. And what I realized about the internet and just how they use it and how it functions, headlines always sell the narrative. We don't necessarily care if it's true or not. It's if this is being said about such, this is what we're going to feel. It doesn't have to resonate with everyone, but it will resonate with a few.
Right.
And sometimes the few that you need it to resonate to is enough to give it more flames.
That's what like the whole cancel culture shit is about.
Yeah. Perfect. Because that's what I was actually thinking about. So I think it was about like 2-3 weeks. So yeah, with the whole Meek Mill situation, right? Obviously he had a song that was leaked. So he never actually released the song. Like, right. I'm pretty sure we all know why it was leaked because of the Kobe line.
Right.
Because the Kobe line was the only one that we heard. And I guess at some point in the episode, I could peel that clip.
Yeah, and if I ever lack, I'm going out with my chop, it'd be another Kobe. Shit, I could tell that they ain't never.
Social media is. We're living in a very sensitive day and time. Everybody was furious. Everybody was like, how could you disrespect Kobe? How could you be so insensitive to what had happened? And what, you have a thought?
I mean, that's what rappers do, though.
Before I get to that point,
right.
So they're completely ripping him apart, discrediting his name, coming at him, coming up with jokes. Listen, we all know it's been bad month for me. You know what I mean? He hasn't looked at, it hasn't been his highest moments. But nonetheless, I feel like, yo, have we lost concept of what rap and hip hop is? Now, Kobe's death affected all of us one way or the other. And no one has really touched his name since. But I kind of felt like, what did you guys really expect? This is hip hop. Meek Mill is not the first to speak on the deceased in a bar.
Right.
You know, and honestly,
it wasn't even disrespectful.
I mean, people take it as disrespect because of the whole chopping line. But like, it was okay.
Yeah.
Like, the
number one, it wasn't a great bar.
No, it wasn't. Like,
It wasn't like a,
I'm not putting that on a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's hard. Nah, it wasn't a great bar to begin with.
Yeah.
But like you said, it was leaked and it was taken out of context.
OD. And that's the thing. It was taken out of context without the full story. But what does the internet do? We don't necessarily care about the full story.
And you don't care about formulating your own opinion either.
No, because once the internet tells you that someone did something that's bad, they're not looking for the masses to agree. They're just looking for the people that think like that on that level.
Right.
So the whole cancer thing comes up. Everybody's trying to cancel me. Vanessa Bryant actually reached out. You know, they had a private conversation, which I'm assuming he apologized because Meek is a real dude. At the end of the day, he's real grown. He's not one of these young rappers who don't know what they're saying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And again, it was leaked. So I kind of felt like just watching that social dilemma, there were little examples of real life shit that I found that really, like, I could be like, oh shit, like this whole movie is real.
Yeah.
How much of our opinions are actually our own?
Like the way you feel about a girl, the way you feel about making money. It's weird, like how manipulated you feel.
Yeah.
It feels dirty, right?
Yeah, and it's like everything is clickbait. Everything is what's going to get the most eyes to click. What I pointed out with Google, they don't care about being right. They don't care about the information being a fact. They just care about allowing you to reach a source where you can continue to read it. And everything is what, an article or a blog or from one person's opinions. But once it catches flame, it becomes like a wave of something that's not really real. And that's why a lot of people feel like we've lost sense of reality in a sense. Like, we're not going to sit here and hang Meek Mill for using Kobe in a bar. Like, seriously?
Right.
You know, how many examples could I come up with every rapper that mentioned the dead? At some point.
Yeah, and too many people are not willing to have that conversation on why he would use that line or, you know?
And again, people are like, you guys don't know what to be mad about. But again, I'm not necessarily going to blame you completely because how I see the algorithms are made in our phones. It's like we don't even realize it. Like they look for the smallest thing and anything that you enjoy, anything that, you know, you think about or talk about, and they slowly start planting that seed in your mind of how to control you.
Right.
There was another example I wanted to use. Did you have a thought you wanted to share?
No, go ahead.
All right. So there was another example. You remember when the student was in the classroom and he had put the cell phone down.
Yeah.
And the guy was breaking down how just that impulsive nature when you put your phone down, when you feel like, it's like an impulsive nature that takes over your body when you feel like you're about to get a notification.
Yeah.
And he kind of compared it to the slot machine. Where it's kind of like, yo, if I pick up my phone now, maybe she responded to my DM.
Maybe I'll get a notification. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I have that. You know, every time I put my phone down, I just assume I'm going to get some sort of notification.
And then you also get FOMO.
The fear of missing out. So it draws you to being on your phone. And what he was saying was basically, all that is planned.
Right.
You know, all that is a part of their
algorithm.
The technology design,
yeah.
Like they found a way to break it down to the smallest science where even if you're not on your phone, they want you thinking about what's going to be on your phone. So quick question. Oh, without your phone.
I can go a long time. A couple of days.
Because
here's the thing. My phone, it's a vital tool for me.
Right.
Because
right.
It's part of my employment. I use it for, you know, I use it for business endeavors. I use it for money, stocks. So, it's not like, but how long can I go without social media? Is the question.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long can you go without social media?
I can go a long time without social media.
Actually,
I can go like, I can say probably 30 days, turn them off, and wouldn't miss a beat.
Okay. I tried it, like last year I had an exercise when I was off of social media for like 4 months. And I ain't gonna front, the first 3 days, I had crazy withdrawal. Like I was just picking up my phone, expecting to see notifications. And I'm like, yo, dude, you deleted all your apps.
Right.
Like, you know, like, and not to mention my phone was dry. But first, after those 3 days, you kind of normalize everything. It's a weird battle. It's a weird transition because it feels like you're leaving one area and going to another when, in all actuality, you're still in the same spot.
Right.
You know, but like, I'm going to do that every single year. Like, honestly, like, take like time.
Social media blackout.
Yeah.
So what did you do with that new time?
With that time?
That was around, what did you do with that newfound time? Like, instead of being on socials, what did you find yourself doing?
I was working out more. I was being more active. I kind of felt like my phone made me more stagnant than I needed to be. And oftentimes that we're on our phones mostly when we're stagnant, when we're laying down, when we're not really doing anything.
When you're waiting.
Yeah. So not having those notifications, those DMs, those new posts allowed me to free up my thought process. So I'm like, yo, what can I be doing with this time? Oh, reading a book,
right.
Which I've actually finished one of my previously purchased books that I got during quarantine. But yeah, it just freed up my time. And we don't realize, and again, these phones create a world within a world, and we're all lost in the fascination that is the internet, you know. And I'm gonna end up this episode with one of the quotes that I heard from the film, because it was dope, and it's something I feel like we all could really just open our minds to. Like, this is the Hard to Be Woke podcast, man. Like, we got to talk about shit that they don't talk about.
Right. All star.
Oh, they're about to do the.
They already did it.
Oh, they did it?
Yeah.
Oh, so, all right. Live on air.
All-star draft.
Team LeBron?
Yeah.
Who you got?
Team LeBron is LeBron, Giannis, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, and Jokic.
Can't fail with that.
And his reserves are Lillard, Ben Simmons, Chris Paul, Jaylen Brown, Paul George, Sabonis, and Goldberg.
I don't even want to hear KD's team. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, the West is winning it again.
KD has Kyrie Irving, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Bradley Beal, Jason Tatum.
That's formidable.
With James Harden, Devin Booker, Zion Wilson, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle, Vucevic.
KD already proved that he's a better GM than Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And Donovan Mitchell. So that's a pretty stacked
team. It's, you know, when you map it out like that, it is stacked. But I don't see LeBron losing. I don't see LeBron losing at all. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So before we get off of today's episode, so my biggest takeaway, right? My free game for everybody tuning in. Listen, the internet has allowed life to progress maybe 100 years faster than anticipated. There are studies that show that the brain still functions at the same rate that it's been since since the 90s. Kids are smarter now. The technology has a lot to do with just how fast the world is really changing around us. But we shouldn't lose concept of reality. Reality is real life. And sometimes we get so caught up in the hype, sometimes we get so caught up in the escape that we lose a sense of the fact that we're actually getting older. And a lot of this shit that we stress about and trip about on our phones really don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Like, even if we're talking about Meek Mill, or even if we're talking about the next drama on the Shade Room, who really gives a fuck?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Little conversations, like meaningless conversations keep you entertained, but they're not meaningful. They don't add no value to your life.
Yeah. So I say find a way, because this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to practice. I'm going to get off my phone a lot more, but find a way to just get back to old human interaction. I get social distancing is a thing, but you know, we're moving on. We've already progressed. Yeah. Stan wanted to talk about Texas opening up their city, but
the whole state.
And it's like, we shouldn't lose the concept of really enjoying and living in the moment and spending time with people on a human level. Too many times when we put our phones down, we have nothing to talk about. You know what I mean? It's awkward. People don't know how to communicate. People don't go out anymore, honestly. And right. COVID played a role in it. But even before COVID, we were all kind of antisocial.
And it's like, if you're not doing anything interesting with your time and all of your interest comes on your phone, when you do put down your phone, yeah, you're right. You really have nothing to talk about because you're not doing anything.
Exactly.
And it's like,
You're not doing anything with life.
You're living through social media instead of living through yourself and experiencing these things yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And social media, honestly, doesn't really care about you. Sorry. Like, likes don't really matter. Now, we get it. We get consumed in the moment because we see our artists, our favorite artists with thousands, hundreds and thousands of likes.
Also, the Instagram models and stuff like that, that's their livelihood.
But you know what I mean?
Those who are not.
But I'm saying the internet has created that false perception that shit like that matters. That you're not fucking beautiful, that you need a filter, or if you don't get a certain amount of likes, then you shouldn't post something that makes you feel good about yourself. And I say, fuck that. Let's get back to reality, because I often say, like, kind of like the quotes that you see on social media, these things only last 24 hours. The moment you see something, you're going to forget about it. So why are we really putting value into that shit? So that's my perspective. Let's get back to reality. Ugh. Had to leave a little ugh on it.
Mm.
What you got?
Yo, stop making excuses for yourself. Just go out there and do it. You know, stop putting... Most people, you're your own biggest roadblock because you put doubt or you don't put it into work to do the research on how to get things started. I would say create a step one today for your step five later. And that's my gem. That's my free game to the world.
And to piggyback off of that, listen, I'm not trying to tell you not to use the internet. The internet is an unlimited source of information. So if you could get something started, use the internet, you know, to back you up.
We're literally at the beginning of what the internet is capable of.
Exactly. And here's the crazy thing, people.
In 20 years, I was changed, man.
Here's the crazy thing. We all have access to this shit. You know what I mean? You could literally start your own podcast using just the bare internet. You really using my Theragun? In the middle of an episode, you massaging your thigh on air?
Yeah.
Fucking sad. So I appreciate you guys for tuning into the Hard to Be Woke podcast. This is episode 6.
We are your hosts.
I'm the greatest host of all time.
Maybe.
It's your boy, King Ev. Follow me on Instagram. No. But hold on. Before we get off, just a quick shout out to all the guys, everybody that's been downloading every episode. Every number doesn't go unnoticed. Like, I see what you guys are doing. Please subscribe, download, share with your friends. Get the word out. We're on to something great. And... yeah, I just appreciate you. Big thank you, man. And we got another episode coming up, too.
That's it.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. We out. Mob out.
We live in a world in which a tree is worth more financially dead than alive. In a world in which a whale is worth more dead than alive. For so long as our economy works in that way and corporations go unregulated, they're going to continue to destroy trees, to kill whales, to mine the earth, and to continue to pull oil out of the ground, even though we know it is destroying the planet, and we know that it's going to leave a worse world for future generations. This is short-term thinking based on this religion of profit at all costs, as if somehow magically each corporation acting in its selfish interest is going to produce the best result. This has been affecting the environment for a long time. What's frightening, and what hopefully is the last straw that will make us wake up as a civilization to how flawed this theory has been in the first place, is to see that now we're the tree, we're the whale, our attention can be mined. We are more profitable to a corporation if we're spending time staring at a screen, staring at an ad, than if we're spending that time living our life in a rich way. And so we're seeing the results of that. We're seeing corporations using powerful artificial intelligence to outsmart us and figure out how to pull our attention toward the things they want us to look at rather than things that are most consistent with our goals and our values and our lives.